Praise God. We're going to be in Luke. Well, let me read Galatians 6 and 9 first. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Come on, did you hear that? I said, in due season we will reap if we faint not. Praise the Lord. And then I'm going to read a story, if we can, Luke chapter 10, 4 verses, 38 through 42. I want you to grasp this story. It's a familiar story to some. Some, this may be the first time you've ever heard it. But Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. I want you to pay attention to that latter part. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now let's finish it out, 42. But one thing is needful. One thing. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Praise the Lord. That 41st verse, if you'll go back one more time, I want to put it in reverse for just a second. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I love you and I thank you and I praise you, God, for all your goodness and all your mercy and all your blessings and all your things that you've done for us. We ask you, Lord, just to move in this service even more than you already have. God, I ask you to let faith arise, God. Let encouragement manifest. Let people that have been broken down, let them get fixed up, Lord Jesus, that they can perform and do what you've called them to do. Father, I ask you, Lord, to let my words be your words, my thoughts be your thoughts, my actions be your actions, God. And let everything that I say and speak be you alone, Jesus. Let it change lives, destroy yokes, and remove burdens. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. If I was to title this morning, it would be simply Faithful in Busy Seasons. Faithful in Busy Seasons. I talked to three different people this week, and they all had almost an identical conversation with me. We're all busy. We got so many irons in the fire that it's hard to keep up, and we need a break. Come on. I know some of y'all are like, well, it's summertime, it's vacation for the kids. But let me tell you what's going on right now. That babysitter called the Independent School District has been shut down for a little while, and mamas and daddies have children running around, having to feed them, having to take care of them, having to clean up, having to do. And let me tell you, it's expensive, it's stressful, and it's a lot of work. Folks are going on vacations. They're traveling halfway across the country. They're going here. They're going there. They're doing this. They're doing that. People are busy at work. We've got things that we have to get done right now. We've got houses that need to be fixed on and things that are happening. We've got doors that need fixing, roofs that are leaking, sidewalks that need swept. We got all kind of oil in the truck needs changing. Cows need feeding. Cat box needs to be taken out. There's lots of stuff happening. Come on. Could you put that 41st verse up there one more time, Brandon? We are careful and troubled about many things. Come on. We got this person calling, asking us this question. We got this thing over here pulling on us. We feel like an octopus with eight different things going in eight different directions. But that next verse, it says, but one thing is needful. Come on. We're careful and troubled by a lot of different stuff, but there's one thing that needs to be the main thing. Come on. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will take care of themselves. That's what it says. Come on. Someone once said, if Satan can't make you bad, if Satan can't make you sin, then he'll keep you busy. Busyness can become one of the greatest distractions to spiritual faithfulness. Being busy is not a new problem. Come on, somebody. This ain't a 2026 issue. I talked to my mom about it this week. I said, these kids, there's so much to do and so many things. And I just, you know, praise God. I didn't say all that. I said a little more to it, but praise God. And she said, well, it's always been this way, honey. She said, y'all ran me ragged. It's like that Loretta Lynn song. It says one needs a hugging and one needs a something and one needs a spanking and one's on the way. Huh? Busyness ain't new. Come on. Martha had dishes to wash. Noah had an ark to build. Nehemiah had walls to rebuild. Paul had churches to write letters to and to strengthen. God never condemned being faithful in your labor, but what he warns us about is misplaced priorities. Come on. There's nothing wrong with being busy as long as we keep the main thing the main thing. Faithfulness is not proven when life is slow, but rather it is revealed when life gets busy. Do you hear me this morning? How many of you feel like we're faithful? Huh? Well, this is preaching to the choir, so to speak. It's Sunday morning in the summertime, and you've made this a priority, and I want to commend you for that. But there are times that we go through seasons when we're so busy, and if we're not careful, we'll look around and wonder where Jesus is in our life. We'll look around and we'll wonder where our prayer life got to. We'll look around and we'll wonder, well, I've been busy doing this, but I should have been worshiping God and taking care of the kingdom's business. Come on. Faithfulness is revealed when you're busy. When we get busy doing things, that's when we should be extra careful to make sure that we don't neglect our spiritual life. And I want you to listen to me. There is a difference, though, before I get into this message very deep. We title a lot of things faithfulness, but we do it out of ignorance. Can I just give a little revelation? What the Lord began to deal with me a few years back, he said, you're very consistent in some things, but you're very faithless in those aspects of your life. And I got to wondering about this, and I got to thinking about this, and I added this into this message today because there is a difference between faithfulness and just being consistent. A lot of times in the church, we label consistent things as faithful. Why? Because there's people that are religious about what they do. They're very consistent. They're very stable in their habits, but they're very faithless in their function. Come on. Faithfulness is a supernatural obedience. Write that down if you're taking notes. When you are faithful, you are full of faith and you are supernaturally obedient, or you're obedient to the supernatural. It can go either way. But consistency is a fruit of faithfulness. But when consistency is a standalone thing, it is a natural habit. Come on. How many of you see the same people every day at the same restaurant doing the same thing? If you go to Bloomberg any morning, early in the day, there's a table over there at the gas station. The same old men are in there drinking the same drink, eating the same snack, talking and gossiping about the same thing. Huh? They're very consistent. Come on. But it ain't got nothing to do with faith. Come on now. We are creatures of habit that like to show off how consistent we are, but then when God tells us to do something, we drop the ball of faithfulness because we're busy doing our habit instead of busy doing the Father's work. Don't label consistency as faithfulness if there is no faith. Listen to me, because faithful literally means full of faith. So if you take the faith out of it, you're just full. And you're full in your busyness. You're full in your calendar. You're full in your activities. You're full in all this stuff that we do for busy work. But the problem is this. When you are busy doing the wrong thing, you get full of the wrong spirit and you drift away from what God has for you in your life. Sometimes blessings are disguised as things that we don't want to do. Sometimes blessings that bring rewards are wrapped up in sacrifice that we don't really want to put on the altar. Abraham had to lay down Isaac before he could fulfill his promise that he would be the father of many nations. His blessing was disguised in sacrifice. But I want to tell you this, in our busyness and in our stressful times and our seasons, give the first fruit to God and be faithful even when it costs you something. And I can promise you this, God will give you back more than it spent, that when it, what it cost, what you had to lay down, what you had to sacrifice. He's a great repayer and a great rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Praise God. We've got to stay focused on His presence. Let me just tell you this. Stay focused on the presence of God before you focus on the pressures of life. You say, why? Because when you make His presence the main goal, then His presence is abiding and He goes with you. Somebody hear me out today. We can't do it on our own. We can't win the battle by ourselves. We can't accomplish the goal on our own abilities, talents, or strength. But when God is in the midst, everything will work out for His glory. Come on, somebody. Jesus, this is Luke 10. We're going to go through this story time, and we're going to do this, breaking it down. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha wasn't sinful because she was serving. There wasn't nothing wrong with her serving. There wasn't anything wrong or evil about her being busy. She was just distracted. Come on. There's nothing wrong with you taking extra jobs or taking extra shifts or going on a vacation or doing ball or going to the park or going doing this or doing that. There's nothing wrong with getting involved in the community and joining up and helping change the atmosphere and this, that, and the other. But the problem is the devil can take a good thing and take you away from a God thing. There's always going to be distractions. There's always going to be dishes. There's always going to be emails. There's always going to be another project. But there's only one Savior who deserves your full life to be given to Him. There's only one opportunity in this life that you live to make it into heaven. And if we squander the promise because we're busy doing our quote-unquote earthly purpose, we are wasting our time. Activity without the intimacy of God eventually will become empty. Come on. Don't let serving Jesus replace sitting with Jesus. How many of us in busy seasons, we wake up, we're tired? Come on. Went to bed late, had projects we were working on, had things going on, had a late night coming in from this, that, and the other, and we're wore out. We usually get up at 6:30, but hey, if I get up at 7, I'll be able to throw my clothes on and get there, right? Come on. That 30 minutes of your devotion time and your prayer time and you just sitting alone, maybe it's just sitting in the shower and just talking to God for a few minutes. That little extra time that you have to relax as you drive to work or relax as you get your breakfast or your snack or take your medicine or whatever, you forfeit that. Why? Because we're busy and we're tired. There's nothing wrong with being busy and tired. But where the problem comes in is when we say, I'm going to feed my flesh and I'm going to forsake God. And you say, well, that's a harsh way of saying it. It's what we do. How many of you, if you came in from work, you're tired, you're busy, or whatever, especially some of you guys that are working outside right now, it's 836 degrees Kelvin, all right? It's bad humidity, and you walk outside, it literally sucks the air out of your lungs. It just makes you just miserable. Can I get a witness? And you, if you were to come in from work and your wife's there and say your kids and everybody, they're waiting on you to get there. You walk into the house. You walk right past every one of them. You go straight to the shower, clean off, get in the bed and go to sleep. That's going to go over like a lead balloon. Huh? Your wife's going to come in there and say, what are you doing? Your kids are going to say, Daddy, Daddy, what are you saying, Brother Shelby? When we just walk by what Jesus has done for us and say, I'm busy, God. I ain't got time for you. I got to go here. Huh? How many times have we walking by the grace of God, walking by the mercy of God, walking by the cross, if you will, and say, Lord, I appreciate you, but I got to go. Huh? I got to cut the grass.
Here's the thing about Jesus, though. When you make his presence your focus, you don't have to go to a specific place and say, God, I only can come to this altar at the front of this church, or I can only go before this pope or before this priest, or I can only go to this little prayer closet. Here's the wonderful thing about Jesus. If you'll say, God, I'm busy and I don't have time to stop, but will you come walk with me? Will you come talk with me? Will you ride with me? Will you go with me? I know I've got to be somewhere, but God, why don't you get in the truck and spend the day with me? And I can promise you this, you might have 5 measly minutes, but if you'll give him those 5, he'll multiply it and give you a harvest of his glory and his presence and his peace and his joy. You'll be efficient and get stuff done that you never would have if you tried it without him. When we go into a hospital, we don't just go to see a doctor. We don't just go to see a nurse. We don't just go to go lay up in a hospital bed. But we go there, and when we lay in there, we say, Jesus, I need you to show up. Jesus, I need you to heal me. Jesus, I need you to encourage me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We're not just relying on the arm of the flesh, but the abiding presence of God. The greatest priority must be Jesus and his presence. We have to, I said a little bit about this, but I'm going to talk about it for a moment. We have got to learn the difference between good busy and God busy, or doing good work and doing God's will. I'm going to take it a step further, doing God work and doing God's will. Come on, not everything that is good is God's assignment for you. You got to understand, sometimes you got to get your hands off of it, because you may think it's your call, but it's somebody else's. And what you're doing is you're keeping someone else from doing their call while you're exhausting yourself. Anybody ever get just plumb wore out whenever you do something for God? I'm talking about just plumb wore out. Anybody? You ain't got to raise your hand. I know it's true, because I've been there, done that. Got nights of no sleep. Why? Because it was good, but God didn't tell me to do it. There's nothing wrong with saying no. Do you hear me, somebody? Some of y'all are stressed out and worried so much because you're doing stuff you shouldn't be doing. Sometimes you can say no. You don't have to volunteer for everything. You don't have to work on every project. You don't have to try to control everything. You don't have to play every Sunday, sing every Sunday, teach every Sunday, go here, go there, do this, that, and the other. You don't have to do it. You know what I've learned to do? No, I can't do it. Why? Well, number one, that's none of your business. Number two, because I have something else I'm going to do. Did you hear me? Question people that want to know why you say no, because they don't have your best interest at heart. I got about 3 of y'all hearing me. Never let this pulpit pressure you to do something that God didn't tell you to do. This message may not be for you this morning. You may be doing nothing at all, and that's what God's telling you to do. Huh? Praise God. If you don't do nothing for Jesus and that's what he told you, I can't convince you to do anything for him. I don't believe God's telling you that, but, you know, I believe God's got something for you to do. But don't try to do things you're not called to do. Why? Because good busy wears you out. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 and 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding that the will of the, or understanding what the will of the Lord is. We have got to understand that there's a lot of people that are wasting time because they're not doing the things that God's will is for their life. They're not performing God's will for their life. Some of you have wondered why you keep being defeated, why you keep just going through things and trials and tribulations, and you're blaming the devil. And it may not be the devil. It may be because you're involved in things that God's not blessing, because God didn't tell you to do it. Just being honest with you. You got to ask this question. This is where the rubber meets the road here, okay? How do we know if it's God's will or if it's just good stuff? Well, I'm going to give you a couple stories. People have asked us to come do stuff, and I just, yeah, I'll do it. It's great. It's a good project. It's a good opportunity. It's something that I can help do, whatever. And go and work your tail off. Be exhausted getting it ready. Not even doing it, just getting set up for it. And then you turn around and you do it, and nothing really happens. There's no fruit. And then you're exhausted before, you're exhausted during, you're discouraged. The people that were supposed to be, you know, helping you do it, well, they most time flaked out and left. And you're stuck holding the trash bag at the end of the night, picking up and cleaning up, and then you get home and you've wasted your time. And you say, well, Brother Shelby, if you're doing it in the right heart and a good reason, it's never wasted. That is not true. That is not true. The children of Israel wasted 40 years wandering around in the wilderness because they listened to man instead of the promise of God. You can get off in a wilderness and spend way time wasting. A whole generation died because they were disobedient and they were busy doing the mind instead of the faith. Uh-uh. And then there's been times that it didn't make no kind of sense at all, and my mind was saying, don't you dare do it. This ain't a good thing. This ain't going to work. This ain't going to happen. And we went, and we did, and it all just fell into place. And then we got home, and we were encouraged, and we were excited, and we were energetic, and we weren't burned out, and there was fruit, and there was ministry, and there was stuff that just happened, and blessings of God just flowed all over it. Let me tell you what the difference is. One of them was good, but God wasn't in it. The other one was God, and the good God in it. I want somebody to hear me. When God speaks to do something, do it, whether it makes sense or not. I don't care how busy you are. Stop what you're doing, and go do what God said. But don't just get busy because you want to be busy. It's bad. Ask this question. Does this edify me or does this exhaust me? Come on. Does this edify my family or does this wear my family out? Does this help my church or does this make us all tired and broke? Most revivals exhaust, not edify, because it's built around work instead of God's presence. Did you hear me? Just because somebody's coming that's a special speaker don't mean you're having a revival. Most of the time the church leadership has to take a sabbatical after a big revival because we can't breathe. We're winded from running. Huh? In fact, I've seen a lot of churches fall apart the moment the revival's over with. Why? Because they're exhausted. And a lot of things begin great, but they peter out and they end terrible because we shift from relying on the presence to relying on our power. Y'all pick that up? And I'm not going to just talk about church stuff. Let's talk about life. And I'm not stepping on toes. I'm not picking on people. I'm not making anybody feel any kind of way. When you get done with what our hobbies are, our busy things, our extracurricular activities, when we get done with those things, are we fulfilled? Are we edified? Do we feel like we've accomplished something and we get satisfaction from it? Or do we feel exhausted? Take what you do for quote-unquote fun and just put it in this aspect. Is it really that fun? Or is it overpriced dopamine highs that leave as soon as they start? Come on. I mean, I'm just telling you. Here's the reality of it. When we do things, and I'm not talking about church stuff, so get this out of your mind. I'm talking about life. Do you go fishing and you come back home wore out, spent money you didn't need to spend, didn't catch no fish anyway, and really you didn't even enjoy it, but you bought that boat and you're paying that payment, and dadgummit, we're going to go? Huh? Come on. How many of us have gone on vacations and we've maxed out credit cards and we've spent the income tax return and we've done everything that we had rat holed up for a rainy day, but we blew it and we got home. We're tireder than we were, gotten a knockdown drag out. We're almost on the verge of a divorce. Huh? How many times How many times have we gone and we've signed the kids up for this or signed the kids up for that because all their friends do it and all of our friends are in it and this is what we need to do to be accepted as society and to be successful and to get our kids in this and get our kids in that. And then when the weekend's over with, yeah, we got a trophy or we got a little medal or we got a ring or we got exhausted. We lost a year off our life. And we ruined our witness, fussing and cussing at the umpire or the referee. Come on! Does it exhaust or does it edify? Does it bring you towards godly communion or does it push you away from God? This is truth. We run here, we run there, we go to this, we go to that. Sandals ain't got nothing on Jesus. Amen? You can't go on a cruise and find peace more than you can find at the feet of Jesus. You might feel fulfillment for a moment, but I want fulfillment for eternity, and you can't find it in money or in drugs or drink or sex or relationships. You can only find fulfillment in one place. Jesus Christ. Every opportunity is not your assignment. A full schedule does not equal a fruitful life. Facebook, Instagram, tic-tac-toe, whatever it is. My face. X, Y, or Z has got it to where our personal life has become publicity. To look how successful I am and how busy I am and how much is going on. Talking about business stuff, I learned a while back, it's better to tell some people no. I don't want clients like you. Because you ain't nothing but trouble. You can't be happy. You're too cheap. Your taste ain't no good. And you're hard to deal with. Huh? And I don't want to be associated with you because I could bend over backwards, tie myself in a double knot, and you'd still leave a bad review. Huh? And I know some of y'all are like, well, Brother Shelby, quit doing everything and start focusing on him, and he'll lead you into what it is that you are to do. Good can become the enemy of God's best for your life. You can be so distracted doing something over here when God says, come to me, I've got something better. But I'm not going to leave what I'm working on here. I've got this big plan. I've got this big... No, God, look what you have. Oh, it's wonderful. It's great. It's better. How many of y'all are married? Raise your hand. Did you date anybody before you married them? Anybody? All right. How many of you know that if you'd have settled for them, you wouldn't have what you have now? And some of you are like, well, if I had a time machine, you know. Some of y'all, you love, I'm just going to tell you, you love that person that you used to be with. You thought that they were the catch me out, hot snot, but really they was cold boogers. You loved them, you wanted them, you desired them, that you talked about them. Everything, you dreamed about them, you got up late at night, called them early in the morning. Some of y'all are so old, you gave away carrier pigeons and Morse code to them, but you got it done, you know. You loved them, you wanted to be with them. But then something shifted and you realized what you thought was good wasn't. In life, it's the same thing. I'm going to tell you something. It's better to have what you don't want than to... To want what you don't have than to have what you don't want. And sometimes we run after things that we want that are so good and so great and opportunities and the door's been knocked on and we think, this is a great thing to do. And God says, but I'm not in it. God said, I'm not a part of that. I'm not... Lot set his tent up facing Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot left out of Abraham's graces and mercy and stuff. And he got out there and he set up his tent facing the world. Somebody hear me out. He started focusing on the world. Why? Because it was good looking. It was fun looking. It was entertaining. But it wasn't a God thing. I'm going to tell you this. The serpent came to Eve and she said, look at this good fruit. It's going to taste good. It's going to smell good. You're going to get to have a good experience. And she looked at the good instead of the great. We can't be so busy that we lose our faithfulness. We have to focus on the God thing. If it glorifies God, it will strengthen his body. Take this into account. If it glorifies God, it will strengthen his body. We're the body of Christ, church. If we glorify him, we're glorifying us. I want you to listen to me. If we're glorifying God, he's going to pour it back out on us. We may have a little time that we look weird, but at the end of it all, God's going to put his hand upon it, and it's going to flourish, and it's going to grow, and it's going to do it. And we find people all the time that are busy building their own ministry. I heard a gentleman the other day, I can't remember which one it was. I listened to several guys talk and preach. He said there's a fine line between promotion of ministries and promotion of God. And we have to make sure that we're on the right side of that. We are not promoting Calvary Tabernacle. We're not promoting a minister, a teacher, a class here. We're promoting the kingdom of God. And many times people get busy promoting things instead of promoting the God that created it all. Busyness without purpose produces burnout. Anybody ever been burned out? We've all been there. Candlelight lit on both ends, burning it up, lit in the middle. Well, guess what? The more flames you got burning on a candle, the quicker it's going to burn out. But if you have God as your focal point, as you pour out, that river will flow out more. Because out of the inmost being of your existence, out of your belly, the Bible says that you're going to flow rivers of living water. And if you are flowing and if you're pouring out the excess and operating out of the excess and out of the overflow, then your base will not run dry. Y'all hearing me? Focus on Christ keeps your vessel full. All right, so here's the deal. We're engaged in warfare. Anybody know we're fighting a battle? This ain't a Sunday school picnic. This isn't a coloring book get together. We are fighting the devil. He's fighting us, and if you're not fighting him, you're probably on his side. Come on. What you feel sometimes and what you go through sometimes is just life in the flesh. But at the same time, sometimes, and I wouldn't say most of the time, but a lot of times, the devil himself is doing things and laying traps for you to kill, steal, and to destroy you. Come on. I want you to hear me out. The battlefield that we're living on and that we're functioning in and that we're fighting in right now is never quiet. Fiery darts, bullets, bombs, guns, things people say, stuff that happens, they're flying, they're going on, commands are being shouted, explosions are happening. But listen how a soldier does. Yet the disciplined soldier still makes every shot count because he refuses to lose focus. Did you hear me? Our spiritual lives are no different. We can get distracted and we can run amok and we can get crazy if we let this world distract us from what we should be focused on. But if we will keep our cool, and if we will do what the Bible says to focus on Jesus, we'll be able to do every single thing that God's told us to do. Praise the Lord. I want to read this scripture to you. This is 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. He's saying, don't be distracted and don't even worry about this mess, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Talking about Christ. Distractions. Listen to this. Distractions are often more dangerous than the opposition. There's a movie. Gentleman was in a battlefield. Things were going on. And the sun was shining. Sand was going in the air. Lots of sounds, people running around. Someone came over a hill. He just raised up his gun out of instinct and fired. And it was a comrade.
It was a gentleman that was on the same side, and he killed him right there on the ground. You say, Brother Shelby, he was distracted and lost focus of who the enemy actually was. Did you hear what I said? The spirit of offense, something that someone says, something that someone does, something someone doesn't say or doesn't do, the devil can use that to distract you from who the real enemy is and point fingers at your brothers and sisters in Christ and say, get them. Are you hearing me? Busy seasons, lots of people doing things, lots of stuff happening. Don't lose sight of who the devil really is. Somebody sitting in this room with you is not the enemy. I don't care what they're going through. They might have had a bad day and said something that they shouldn't have said, done something they shouldn't have done. They might do it every day for 10 years. But I'm here to tell you, God is working. God is doing. Stay focused. They're going to repent and they're going to change. We don't need self-harm in the church. We got enough people talking about us besides us talking about each other. Gossip is just as sinful as murder. Hateful spirits, evil talking. It all comes from being distracted by the enemy. Come on. Anybody ever been with somebody, especially when we were kids, and they dropped something or made a noise or did something, and somebody said, who did that? And they point at you, blame you for it. Huh? Amy tells a story. She says, the only whipping I ever got from my dad, I didn't even do it. Her cousin did it and blamed her, and she got a spanking. Isn't that terrible? How many times have we knee-jerk reacted because the devil said, look at what somebody did, and that wasn't even the intention behind what they had? Praise the Lord. We got to stay on our mission. We got to fulfill what God's called us to do. We cannot confuse just being busy and having movement as progress. The children of Israel spent 40 years moving, but they didn't progress anywhere. Did y'all hear what I said? How many of us have had a really busy time, but we didn't produce nothing? I'm working my tail off for nothing. Anybody ever felt that? It's like mowing grass. I cut the thing. Next day I go out there, then bahia things are right up back up. What in the world? Get out there with some Roundup. Run around acting busy, and then it's kind of like this. Put brand new tires on the car and the motor blow up. Put a motor in it, the transmission goes out. Dadgum. Busy but not accomplishing nothing. Oh, Lord. Busy isn't always productive. The focus believer makes every opportunity count. Did you hear what I said? We're not going to miss opportunities because we messed up or we dropped the ball. Faithfulness is measured by obedience and not activity. Let me move on forward here. All right, last point. Faithfulness means that we finish well. Come on now. Busy at the beginning, busy in the middle, crash out right at the finish line. Didn't make it. How many of us have seen things in our times in our life when we started good and we did it good for a while, but then it crashed and burned? Huh? Have you ever seen somebody get in the church, get involved and have a relationship with God, and man, they're plugging and they're doing, and then something distracts them, something gets on them, something moves them from their purpose, moves them from what they're supposed to do, and they get that good, busy stuff, and then burnout happens, and before you know it, they're backslid. Come on. That first little scripture I read to y'all this morning, Galatians 6 and 9, it says, don't get weary in well-doing. Can you pull that up for me, Brandon? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. I just want to read this one more time. I got 4 minutes, and I'm going to take every second of it. Praise the Lord. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. In due season. I've never understood why people pay their bills way early. I leave my money in the bank till the day it's due. Huh? I might get up one morning and see the SWEPCO's done filed bankruptcy, and I ain't got to pay that bill. Y'all laughing.
I get that 13th of a penny interest a year, you know. Leave it in there every day I can. When it's due season, you're going to reap. I want you to hear me out. So I've talked about this the last month, and we're keeping on talking about it. Faithful people finish the race. Faithful people finish well. God has never required us to do everything. He just wants you to faithfully do what He's assigned you to do. You may not have all fivefold ministry, nine gifts, and all the fruit, but I'm here to tell you what God has. My God in heaven, the man that He gave the one talent to, if he would have just been faithful with the one, the master would have gave him another one when he got back. But because the little bit, the guy despised it and he thought he wasn't worthy, he said, I'm going to quit. Don't you dare let a devil or a person tell you that what God has given you ain't no count. If all you can do is honk on a horn, then honk that horn for Jesus. If all you can do is cry, then cry them tears for Jesus. You don't have to sing like a nightingale. You can sing like a bullfrog. Just make a joyful noise unto the Lord and be faithful until either He comes back or you die and go to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. You're not wasting your time. I don't care what it looks like. If God called you to it, He's going to perform the work. Praise the Lord. When we glorify Him, He strengthens us. We're His body. His work through us should produce life, not constant exhaustion. God rewards faithfulness more than fame. Finish your assignment. Faithfulness is consistency over convenience. What is done for Christ is never wasted, and the goal isn't just to be busy, but it's to be faithful. Well, Brother Shelby, I'm tired. Well, then cut something else out. Can I just talk real plain for a minute? Quit doing stuff. I'm here to tell you, if it makes you miss church, it ain't God. If it makes you not want to pray, it ain't God. I don't care what it is. I don't care. Anything that takes you away from devotion to Jesus is a trap of the devil. And you say, well, Brother Shelby, I don't believe you have to go to church. Well, you're deceived. The Bible says, forsake you not the gathering together as the custom of some is. Even so much more as the day approaches. We're living in the last day, and I know there's some people that are spiritually mature to have church at your house all alone, but there are baby lambs that if you left them in the field by themselves, they would be devoured by the devil in a heartbeat. There's nothing wrong with coming to worship God with other people. There's something wrong with religious gatherings that are about men and church buildings and not about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As long as the truth is being preached, as long as the praises are going to God, and as long as we're keeping Him as the main thing, there's nothing wrong with it. Quit some of that junk. Quit it. I refuse to let anything take my kids away from the house of God. Mine, my three, the door's open, them boogers are going to be here. You say, well, Brother Shelby, that's just a bunch of old. No, it's not. It's not. Because what you tolerate, the next generation will embrace. And some of y'all need to get up and come to church on Sunday night. And some of y'all need to get up and come to church on Wednesday night. There's classes back there for senior adults, young adults, kids, youth. I'm tired. I work on Wednesday too. I'm just telling you the truth. It's a slap in the face to these teachers that prepare stuff when you don't go and support it. It is. But praise the Lord, I ain't going to have no altar call today. That was it. It's time. Listen, I'm going to end you on a good, sweet, positive note. I'm not going to grind my axe
up here. I ain't got one to grind. I'm going to tell you the truth. The Lord's coming back. The devil wants to kill you. And there's safety in numbers. If you get away from the distractions of this world and grab a hold of Jesus, you're going to be blessed more. You're going to have peace. You're going to sleep better at night. You're going to have more money in the bank. You're going to have things happen in your... And you say, Brother Shelby, this is crazy. Don't you dare tell me I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath, and I'm this, that, and the other without saying that it's because of my Father in heaven that paid every dime for it. And if somebody pays for my way, I'm going to tell them thank you every opportunity that I get. Let's pray. In Jesus' name, be with us, keep us, help us. Do what you've called us to do, and that alone. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, and Jesus loves you. Y'all be safe. See you back tonight. Hallelujah.